Okay, welcome back to everybody. Those who are first joining, welcome to begin. We're left off right smack in the middle of something, so that's a good thing, or not such a good thing, depending on whether you're from the new guys or not. So we're going to try to make it easy for everybody. We're going to try to get everybody back into the swing of things, and those who have not yet been learning the sigils will get you right into the heart and soul of everything pretty quickly. So we left off right smack in the middle of on daf tzadik ches amud beis. So I'm starting to feel a little bit like, you know, in brisk, so they say when the Zman ends, so they can read it. Rabbi Shul is in the middle of reading a Tosfos, and he asks Vim Timer, and then the bell rings, and then the Zman ends, so that's Vim Timer, okay. And then 3 weeks later, we're going to come over again, so he continues via Shlomer, as if there was no Pesach, there was no Sukkot, there was no Pesach, there was nothing. So that's the mindset we have to enter into Rashi also, that just because you were in Florida skiing in Eretz Yisrael, in Hawaii, on the moon, and Mars, wherever you were for the last, or in the Wire Base Manage, wherever you were for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, we're out of the last time I said, yeah, so it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. We got to get right smack into the signal. So let's recap a little bit to bring it up to speed for the new guys as well. So we are in the middle of a major sugya called Zeruah B'Sheila. Now, Zeruah B'Sheila is a multifaceted sugya. We've talked about some parts of it, and we're almost done with it, but we still have a few important parts left to us. So Zeruah B'Sheila is a series of sukkim in Parshas Naso, where the Torah depicts for us the following illustration. You have this fellow who is a Nazir, and he's trying to get out of being a Nazir. He's done already with his Nazirus. So he's trying to bring his karbanos. And one of the karbanos that he has to bring is an El Nazir, and that's basically a Korban Shlomim. So hopefully everybody davened Shacharis this morning. Hopefully everybody said Ezim Koyman this morning. And you realize that the El Nazir, this Korban Shlomim, is pretty much the same as any other Korban Shlomim. And as such, a Yisrael is allowed to eat it. As such, you're allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. It doesn't have to be in Bezichei Kehuna. It doesn't have to be in Tafka and the Azara, so it's pretty lenient. It has a lot of kulas, all the kulas of regular kashrut halal. But then the Torah throws a curveball at us, and the Torah tells us that the zeroa, the arm of this korban, gets as a special gift to the kohen, and as a special gift to the kohen, oy oy oy, as a special gift to the kohen, it's also what? It's also to who? It's also to the Yisrael, okay? And it doesn't mean it's quite kachim, and we're not learning all the details of kachim right now, but it has certain limitations, and the Zeroa cannot be in by the Yisrael. So now you have a very, very strange phenomenon, because you have a korban, that 90% of the korban is mutal Yisrael, 10% of the korban is, well, the numbers aren't really right, but short of that, the part of the korban is also to the Yisrael. So okay, we can live with that, we can deal with that. What's the problem? What throws us off? Is that the Torah is all cooked together. So the Torah is describing here a potential disaster in terms of Isabhatar. Because you're taking, now I don't want to use the word tray for food in the real sense of the word, but I'm a Yisrael. So from my vantage point, this row is tray. This row is off limits. So the Torah is telling me as a Yisrael to cook a whole pot of kosher food together with a little piece of tray for food, and the Torah is saying that's okay. The Torah says that's fine. I'm going to cook it all together. The Kohen's going to take his Roa. I'm going to take the rest and Shalom Yisrael. So what the Torah basically depicted for us is cooking treifas. That's exactly what the Torah said. Now, let me ask you a question. Before you opened up this sugya, when you were Mavis Sedra last year, Parshas Noso, okay, assuming you were Mavis Sedra last year, Parshas Noso, and when you read this Parsha, who was bothered with this Kasha? Who would have thought this was a Kasha's violation? Nobody. You guys obviously weren't learning Chumash properly. When you read, so if you were the Tanoim and you were learning Chumash properly, then you would realize this is a gross, this is a flagrant kashrus violation. This is like you got to call on the Mashgichim for this one. How could the Torah possibly be mad at such a thing? So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. And this teaches us a whole bunch of funny things about Hukos Kashrus. But one of the things, one of the observations that the Tanoim make about this din, for Hatanya, Zeu Heter Habo Mechlal Isser. So the Braisa says explicitly that what's taking place here in this pot is something that we would actually not sanction in regular Yoredei. In regular Chum, regular kashrus issues, we would never permit such a thing. There is something that is strange here. There is something that is mutter here that would not have been mutter otherwise. And now the multi-million-dollar question, really, where our sukkah begins is, what is it that wouldn't have been mutter otherwise? What exactly is the absolute flagrant kashrus violation over here? Now, truth to be told, there's not that much zroa corresponding to the rest of the aisle. Now, some of you who learned the previous sugyas may remember, we may even have, what's the magic number? We may even have 60 times of the rest of the aisle corresponding to that zroa. Or according to some, we may even have how much? We may even have 100 times. And again, to the new guys, those numbers may be a little bit scary to you. Those are sugyas we spoke about a little bit. We're going to catch up pretty quickly. So the Gemara says that what is this gross kashrus violation? We know that there's something here, because you have a braisa that says the magic phrase, Zehu heter habo miklal iser. What would have been aser, and what is the heter? So that's what the Amoraim, that's what we're going to pick up. That's where our sugya begins. So comes Abaye, and says, I'm going to tell you what that heter is. Comes Abaye and says, I'm Abaye on Sabiches Mabez. Lo nitzricha ela la Rabbi Yehuda di oma min b'mina lo batil kamash malon d'hocha batil. That's it. Comes Abaye and says, the regular rules of your day would have dictated that we would never ever let you get away with such a cooking. Never ever let you get away with eating such an aisle. You know why? Because even though there's a minuscule amount of trefa, it's a very, very small amount, the ratio is very, very low. But, I'm sorry, this is what's called min b'mino. It's the same thing. This is meat and this is meat. So min b'mino ain't a batil. And since the whole parsha of bitul isurim, the whole notions of bitul b'shishim, and meyas, and all the numbers that we talk about, do not apply when it's a min b'mino, because Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, has the absolute chayt v'lo yavor, maybe, the absolute chayt v'lo yavor principle called min b'mino ain't a batil. And therefore, based on Rabbi Yehuda's version of Hilchas Taravis, based on his reading of Yeridaya, min b'mino ein abato should have dictated that this aisle is going to become awesome, because the Zeraya, even the small amount of Zeraya, is going to ask for the rest of the aisle. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa. That's the Chiddush of the Parash of Zeh Heter B'Machal. So Abaye read into this Braisa, into this Sugya, into this Parash in Chumash, he looked at it through the eyes of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who subscribed to min b'mino. And this is the exception to this rule. Ad kan divrei HaGemara. Now, again, for the newcomers, we'll fill you in. For the old comers, you guys better remember this. If not, we're going to start revoking Bechina Nekuta from last semester. How did Rabbi Yehuda know his principle called Mishnah in the book? Where did he get it from? Come on, listen. Dam Hapar and Dam Asar. If you don't know that, you're done. Okay? We'll send you back down to where, but somewhere. Okay? So comes the pasuk in Parshas Achrimos and says, when the Kohen Gadol gets to that moment in time of sprinkling the dam of the par and the dam of the sor, mixing them together and putting it on the mizbech panimi, the Torah says, "V'lokach midam apor midam hasoiv v'nasana penasa mizbeach soviv." When you read who was Ma'ariv Sedra last year, Parshas Achrimos, when you got to that pasuk midam apor midam hasor, what kasha should you have asked? If you were a Tana, what kasha would you have asked? What do you mean, Dama Sawyer? This is a forest. This is a joke. Ever see a goat? A goat's a little goat. Ever see a bull? It's a big fat bull. The Dama and the Sawyer should be butl b'raiv in the Dama and the Par, and it's come on the waste. It doesn't exist. What am the bitl b'raiv? You don't believe in Achiram Mahatos? When your mama said the Pasha Mishpatim, you don't remember there's a din of Achiram Mahatos? So comes the Hilik Tana reviews and says, the answer to this dilemma is that Nibbimina went a bottle. That the parish of Bittul Barayv doesn't apply to Min B'mino. That's Rabbi Yehuda's starting point. And again, we spoke about this many, many times over. So comes the Hilik Tana Rabbi Yehuda and looked at three different parishes. This is how you have to learn Chumash. So number one, you have parishes Mishpatim Adin of Achiravim, Karam Mahatos, okay? That's parish number one. Then you have parish number two of Dam HaPar, Dam HaSoyer. Then you have parasha number three, Zeruah B'Sheila. So Rabbi Yehuda looked at these three parashas and had the following observation. He said, the starting point in halacha is Achiram Mahatis. Ay, Dama Par, Dama Sawyer. It must be the Torah is putting the brakes on the din of Bittul B'Raiv and Bim B'Mino in a bottle. So im kain, what do I do with Zerah B'Sheila? What's the answer? Mazmi, Zerah B'Sheila is the chin shatayr, Zerah had the bavachal. So Yitacha right, that Zerah B'Sheila shetacha have been also. That's what Rabbi Yehuda learned. So Rabbi Yehuda learned that all three parashas, and he looked at all three of them through the eyes of Chulin and Yerideah. By the way, just Derech Agav, of course we all know that none of them really have anything to do with Chulin and Yerideah. I mean, according to Pshuta Shemikra, this is talking about Beis Din, this is talking about Karbonos in Yom Kippur, and this is talking about Anos of bringing Karbonos. So unless I was a had Ruach HaKedesh of Rabbi Yehuda, I wouldn't realize that these three parashas have anything to do with our sugya. So that's where you have to be a Talmud. So the Hilchot Tanoim read these three parashiyos and came up with this conclusion. So Mibbamino in the bottle was the rule, Zeu had the Bamachal Zisr. At Kant of Yagamar. Okay, everyone with us? Everyone follow that? That's the easy part. So we didn't say anything yet. Comes the Rashba on the Sugya and throws a monkey wrench into everything we just see. Comes the Rashba and says, Yadua Mefursam, that there are fundamentally two different kinds of taravis. In terms of physical taravis, two kinds of mixtures. There's a taravis of lach balach, and there's a taravis of yavish b'yavish. So let's just give some examples, some easy examples. I'll give you like a simple example of lach balach. If I would just give me a depiction. Pick some problem in the kitchen of lach balach. Give me one. Come on, anyone.
Chicken soup and milk.
Chicken soup and milk. Okay, and I. All right, we'll let you go on that one. Okay. So chicken soup with milk, there's a liquid mixed together. Okay, good. Okay. And that's probably like number six on my list. Okay. Who's going to give me a yavish b'yavish? Give me a good yavish b'yavish. Come on, give me a good, heavy duty yavish b'yavish. Come on. I got three pieces of meat. I got three salamis. One is a trefa salami. Two of them are kosher salamis. The labels are all taken off. Nothing's mixing. There's no liquid. Nothing. It's three solid pieces that are 6 feet away from one another. That's the type of the yavish b'yavish, right? That's like yadua. That's like the ABCs. That's the obvious two examples. Come to Rashi and says the med devarim amurim that Rabbi Yehuda said such a startling statement. That's only about lach balach. Now, that's not so startling. Why? Because after all, what was the original pasuk talking about? What's the mocker for nivimino and avotel? By golly, lach balach, dam and dam, right? Okay? So, that's by lach balach. Open by yovish, be yovish. Even Rabbi Yehuda concedes that Minbamina was Batel, whatever numbers, I don't know what the numbers are, don't even bother me right now. But there is no such cloud called Minbamina in a Batel. Abba Zoifrik the Rashba, in the case is Rabbi Sheila. What is Rabbi Sheila? Is Rabbi Sheila closer to Lach Balach, or is Rabbi Sheila closer to Yavish B'Yavish? What would you think? If I would just throw this question at you, do you think that Rabbi Sheila is a closer model to Lach Balach, or a closer model to Yavish B'Yavish? So I'll tell you there's going to be you guys are going to part ways in this year. I'll tell you why. Because anyone here ever hear about Kyrie Lane, Parshas Vayakel, Pekudei? If he's not a crackerjack bucker, is that excellent about Kyrie? What is going to happen? It's all going to depend on the following. Did he ever lane Truma Tetzava or not? If he never lane Truma Tetzava, then his Vayakel Pekudei will be flawless. But if he ever lane Truma Tetzava and he's not a great Bakere, he's going to flop. You know why? Because all the psukim are just about the same, and he's going to keep on referencing but the trump is all different, so he's going to make all the mistakes. So it's better not to have lane Truma Tetzava if you have to lane Vayakel Pekudei. So here too, if you're in the Shia for the first 5 months, you're going to answer this question wrong. Okay, because you have too much information, but you don't know enough. It means you have a little bit of knowledge that's going to do you in. So you know a little bit about your day, but not enough to answer this question correctly. If you were never in the Shia, and your exposure to Chul and your day began at 9 o'clock this morning, so then you're probably going to answer this question correctly. Okay? All right? So now, with that introduction, no one should feel hesitate to answer. You don't want to scare the guys. You just like to entertain. I have to keep myself awake during Shia. No, advice. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Zerah b'sheila. Lach, lach, yavish, yavish. Come on. Who thinks it's lach? All the old times. Who thinks it's yavish? All the new guys, right? Okay, tell me. Why do you think it's yavish? Because there's no liquid here. I got a solid piece of meat, right? There's a piece of meat. This is a solid. Two solids is yavish, right? That's what you were thinking, right? Okay, you're right. New Dr. Berman, we are representing the old timers. Dr. Berman's been here for 12 years already, okay? So, come on, let's go. Ah, so Dr. Berman's saying, you know. That's it. As long as you do that, and you say a little Yiddish, and you got your little bit, you have a beard, you tuck your face a little bit, you got, Dr. Berman said it very clearly, oh, this is a flavor. Okay, so the Rashba, in posing the question, in contrast to all the old fellows in the Shia, the Rashba poses the question by saying, Yadua, that Zerah B'Sheila, is Yavish B'Yavish. There's no liquid. I'm looking in the pot. I don't see any liquid. This is Yavish B'Yavish. Obazoi. If so, then it's Yavish B'Yavish. Respect the Rashba. According to my Yisrael, who say this, that Rabbi Yehuda never said his Chiddush by Yavish B'Yavish. He only said it by Lach B'Lach. So then the whole Gemara doesn't read. I don't understand what I just read. I just read your Gemara. Amr Rabbi, read inside. Amr Rabbi, lo nitzuche el Rabbi Yehuda diyam min b'minam abatil, kamash b'l dach abatil. 1,000 penalty markers on the place. The whole format of the Gemara is mamish wrong. What do you mean lo nitzchel Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda never said it in such cases. What is the Gemara saying? It's a chiddush atayir. It's a hefty. You have to listen. It never should have been mutter. What do you mean never should have been mutter? Rabbi Yehuda personally never said his chumra. I mean, b'mino ain't about the b'yavish b'yavish. That's how the sugya begins. That's the Rashba's formulation of a kasha. So everybody's saying, in order to map out what we have to accomplish now in the sugya, we have multiple tasks in front of us. First of all, we have to challenge the Rashba. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda only said his din by lach b'lach and not yosh b'yavish? Just because Damapan Damasor happens to be lach? I mean, we extrapolate a lot of things between you and me. Damapan Damasor is not even talking about kashas altogether. So, like, you know, it's kind of like almost like an arbitrary, you know, a point. That it's a, we would even call it a true but irrelevant. It happens to be that Dhamma Parat Dhamma Sar is lach, but is that important? So we don't really know, Minohan Emili, how did the Rashba even know, right? Minohan Emili, that, how do we even know that there's a chiluk between lach and yavish within the view of Rabbi Yehuda? Right? That's question number one we have to deal with. How did the Rashba know that so partial, so convincing? Number two, even if the Rashba is going to dig up a few Gemaras here and there that are going to point in that direction, that's not the end all of our discussion. Because even if we could prove that, yes, it seems to be true, we're not going to suffice ourselves with that. Why? Because what are we going to ask ourselves once we identify what? What's that next question? What do we want to know? We have to wait that. Even if we identify a sugi here and there, we'll dig up a Gemara here and there that the Rashba is going to prove that Rabbi Yehuda never said his chiddush by yavish b'yavish. We're going to want to know, why is that true? Like, why? What's the svar l'chalik? So it's not enough just to say, Minon Emili, how did he know it? But am I choluk lach neyavish according to Rabbi Yehuda? That's going to be second point. So we have two questions. First of all, we're not even sure the facts are right. And number two, we're not even sure what in the world the reason would be. And then we have another challenge with the sugya. What's another challenge? Even if the Rashba's right on number one, and even if I'm going to come with some razzle-dazzle shtickle terror, some wonders to explain the difference, we're still very, very bothered. Why? Because we think Dr. Berman's right. Because why is this called Yavish B'Yavish? Is that really true? Is it true that the facts are right, that Zerah B'Sheila is really a Yavish B'Yavish that forced the question in the first place? We're not even sure that this equation is correct. So we have a lot of work cut out for us. Everybody say this is pretty much how the sugya is going to play out for us. So we have a lot of work to do. Let's start the sugya at the beginning. No, the Rashba doesn't just say it off the top of his head and then move on. He brings you some very, very strong rayas, maybe. No? But it's some of the rayas from your, you know, again, when, if you would start off a sugya, who makes a statement that Rabbi Yehuda only send them to me in a bottom belach belach, not be yavish b'yavish, I would say prove it to me. So what would you have to do? What would you guys? What would you do in the year 2020? What would you do? What would you press? You press Google. I say this is what I want to know. Rabbi Yehuda sheet about yavish b'yavish. Let's see it. Let's see it printed out. Right? That's what you would do. What does the Rashba do?
Wonder.
What do you do? He closed his eyes, put his hands over his ears, and he did like this. He said, Baruchas, Shabbos, Erevit, Sochotnes, went to Shaspur, Masechta by Masechta, and came to the realization, hey, I have 16 different rayas that Rabbi Yehuda never said. Mimbinah Rebothel by Yavish B'Yavish. That's how the Rashi, that was the old style way of doing it. That was the more efficient way of doing it. So comes the Rashba and takes us through a grand tour of Shas. I'm going to prove to you, Zuk the Rashba, my Yisoid, and because my Yisoid is right, therefore I have a bomb Kasha. So again, we're only up to the first step of the Rashba's Kasha. We have to appreciate that. If it takes us a whole day today just to appreciate the Amkus of the Rashba's Kasha, Dayenu. The Heliger Rashba didn't just stop sitting around in the middle of Barcelona or the Goyim are running and having bullfights or something. He's just sitting around just barking Kashas. The Rashba thought through Shas. The Rashba's thinking through and said, I'm going to prove to you from Shas. So let's see the Rayas. Who saw the Rayas? No? Who saw the Rashba's Rayas? Nobody saw the Rayas.
Demai.
Yeah, close. Okay. Well, Demai, Oral or something. Okay, let's see if we can work it through. There is a din, Yadu Mefursim, there's a din. That what's the Shia Bittel for Truma? What if Truma gets mixed with the Chulim? What's the Shia Bittel? Who knows? Magic number. The Mishnah, you say 100, right? Truma's Bottle Echid and Meya. Maybe the Raisi, maybe the Rabbanon, to be determined as the Sigur develops. But that's the Shia Bittel. Mishnah is the Favish. As a small piece of information, you should just know that the Gemara actually seems to say, according to most Rishonim, a little bit later on, that Shia of Meya was only said by what? By Mimba Minu. That was not said by Mimba Shena Minu. Mimba Shena Minu, what's the Shia Vittel? What's the number? Shishim, like everything, like Chazak, the Nail, the Gilon, the Sur. So this special din, we'll call it the Rabbanan, or the Rabbi Rishon, it's the Rabbanan, this special din that Truma is Eila, the Echad Umeya, you acquire 100 times Chulin, the Pashup Shad and all the Sugyas is, this is a special Chumah by Mimba Minu, not by Mimba Shena Minu. That's the way it is. No. Says the Rashba, if you want me to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is min b'mino in a bottle, even by what? Even by Yavish B'Yavish, then what din must Rabbi Yehuda not accept? This very din can't exist in the world of Rabbi Yehuda. This din of min of Truma B'Tehla B'Yechad Umeya is not on Rabbi Yehuda's radar screen. It can't exist. The Pasha Timan D'Leisa. It cannot exist. Why? B'Manashach. Because by Mimba Shein Amino doesn't exist, that's a fair Shigamar. And if Rabbi Yehuda holds that Mimba Mino ain't a Batel, so what's Batel? So that would be very startling. I mean, it's possible. It's possible Rabbi Yehuda denies this din, but unlikely. And says the Rashba, Imtim Salaima, Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to this din of Chubu Batel Mimea. The only way to salvage the din, the only way to plug it in practically is to say that Hochav Vayaskinon, what? When does it apply in Truma Batel B'Meya? By what? By Yavish B'Yavish. And then everything can be hunky-dory, right? Isha Makom Yavish B'Sholem. Rabbi Yehuda holds B'Meminu in a bottle. That's by Lach B'Lach. But the din of Truma B'Yavish B'Meya is by Yavish B'Yavish. That would be okay. So Imtun's Rashi is playing with us now. He's saying that Imtun's Alayim make it proof to you that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to this din of Truma Batel B'Meya. The only way to explain it away would be to plug it into Yavish B'Yavish, which would be a Raya Brura from my first statement that Menorah immediately Lach Lach and Yavish is different according to Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, this requires for the Rashba to do what? To find some statement somewhere and tucked away in Shas that Rabbi Yehuda buys into Truma being both of Yechad and Meir. If the Rashba could do that, then he just proved his point, right? Well, everyone must. That's all he has to do is find one statement of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana anywhere from Brachas to Nida that buys into Chumah being Batel Echad B'Meya. If that's true, then it's proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that Rabbi Yehuda B'Meya and Batel is not all-inclusive. It's only B'Lach B'Lach, and it's B'Yavish B'Yavish. Anyone know what Raya he brought? The Rashi really worked with this one. What did he do? So he closed his eyes again, and he starts with Brachas. Brachas, Daf Yoimi, it's ready up to Daf, what are we up to? Daf Yizayin, Dukas, we know about a lot of funny things about people talking to basic choruses, but bottom line is, well, we don't know anything about Truma being both of them there yet, right? 17 blot of Shas, we haven't gotten there yet. Okay? So now we move to Masecha Shabbos. So our initial reaction to Shabbos, you're wasting your time, right? Shabbos. You're going to learn about Bishul and Boyer. What are you going to book to? What are you going to, how are you going to find out where you're going to do the Rashba says no. He goes to every day for Shabbos. Days. And he gets to what? Kuf Mem Aleph. He just has in his mind. Again, there's no Googles, there's no Art Scroll Shasim, there's no indexes. if, you know, rollies, you know, I got to roll the scrolls down. And he dug up, and it's, you can't even call it Kuf Mem Aleph because there were no pages yet, because the Bumberg wasn't even born yet. So it was on scroll 16, column 49 in my version, but the other guy's version was scroll 17, column 2. So there was no way of ever referencing. So you had a Mamash no Kol Terku. You actually had to learn. Mamash had no Kol Terku in front of your very eyes. So the Rashba says, Ayin, what's going to become in 300 years from now, Shabbos, Kuf Mem Aleph, Ayin Shom, and you'll figure out the answer to this dilemma. No? What did the Rashba reference us to? Easy for us. We opened up a Gemara, Shabbos, Kuf Mem Aleph, on the Mamre Kermis. What does the Gemara talk about? No, you didn't look it up. It wasn't on the Mamre Kermis. The Rashba told you to look it. Nobody looked it up. And the Rashba worked so hard to find it, nobody even bothered to look it up. Come on, it's not nice. A little cover for the Halig of Rashba, come on. Curse the Tayyid. No, Zakhtim Sugi and Kuf Mem Aleph and Shabbos. Here's the background. Listen to the background. The Gemara talks about if I have a little bit of truma got mixed into a lot of chulin. So I'm good to go, right? I can eat it, I'm Yisrael, I can eat it, it's Gevaldik, right? Not quite. What's the problem? Chazal were very bothered with this phenomenon of bittul truma. You know what was bothering Chazal? Who just got cheated? The kohen just got cheated. This poor kohen. He doesn't have a parnos, he doesn't have a field, he's sitting in kohen, he's plotting, waiting for truma. And some nika poopy Yisrael told him, by the way, I'm so sorry, but suddenly truma got mixed into 100 by chulin, sorry, Charlie, you're out of business for today. The guy's starved. His wife's going to scream at him. He's got, there's no food. So Chazal felt really, really bad for the kohen. So you know what they did? They made the following takana sachamim. What's the takana? Even though the truma is batel, you know what you should do? Even though it's bottle, so really, Mikra didn't eat, so could eat the whole thing. But what? Take off that same amount that would have been truma anyway. Give it to the kohen anyway. The Yisrael not losing anything. The Yisrael wouldn't have had that amount. So instead of telling the Yisrael that little bit of truma is going to trafe up all your chulin because the mice in this bottle, the mea. So instead of trafe up everything, we're saying, listen, do everyone a favor, do the kohen a favor, give him a little piece of truma, whatever it might be a level for him, should have some kohen. That's the Mishnayis, the Ferish Mishnayis. Okay? You have to do that. So now, come to Tanoim and discuss the following. This phenomenon took place, this scenario took place on Shabbos. Okay? So yes, this is what happened on Shabbos. So, I have my food, my Mintul Minbamino. A little bit of the Kayin's stuff got mixed into, a little bit of the Kayin's wine, the Juma wine got mixed into my wine. It's bottled in Meya. I'll leave out one. That's bit. Okay. Yavish b'yavish. Okay, fine. Scratch that. Okay, I got yavish b'yavish. A little bit of the truma got mixed into my stuff. And we just paskin that it's mutter because it's bottled with mea. But we're saying to the Yisrael, by the way, take off a little piece. Before we let you eat it, take off a little piece. So what is this doing in Masechta Shabbos? Who knows? What's the shayla? How's this impact of Shabbos? Usually, what are you not allowed to do on Shabbos? You're not allowed to separate what? Trumas, because that's like being matr as ever also, it's like matr the papish. So you're fixing up the tevel. So Chazal have a shayla, is this taking off, it's not really taking off truma, taking out the part of truma, which is not real truma anyway, but taking off the part in order to salvage, to let the Yisrael eat the rest of it, is that called an issa de rabban of being fixing up this food on Shabbos enough? That's the shayla. That's what it took 141 blad of Masechta Shabbos to get to that shayla. Okay? That is that called fixing it or not? So we can argue, maybe it is, maybe it's not. So guess what? There's a Tana who gets involved in this discussion. Who's the Tana? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mala said, Medumi B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to do that. Rabbi Yehuda's making on that child, not everyone agrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to take off that little hundredth, a little more than, less than a hundredth, and give it to the Kohen. Can even do that on Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, you can breathe a sigh of relief in the Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda's making. Nu Zetman Fundo, what do you see from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda's making? What do you see? What did Rabbi Yehuda accept? What did he accept? That it's basically bottle, right? It was bottle but what shear? B'meya, right? It was bottle b'meya. Wait a second, Rabbi Yehuda buys into bittul b'meya. What happened to what? How did Rabbi Yehuda buy into bittul b'meya? What's about bittul b'meya? Min b'mino in a bottle. Except min fedos in the Rashba. Min b'mino in a bottle was only said by what? Only b'lach not b'yavish b'yavish. That's the Rashba's right. You need a Rashba for that, okay? Who would have thought of this Raya on their own? It's been 7 years since the Rebbe set the Shabbos in Dafyom, so it's been a long time. But in Tuf Lemon, we had this Gemara in the Tifrat Tongues, we probably a million years wouldn't have thought of it either. The Rashba connected the dots from Rebbe Yehuda's Kula, Hilcha Shabbos, Yezem and Fedor, Rebbe Yehuda bought into people of the Meya, which otherwise would be a contradiction to this Kala Nubi Nabato, a Korach of the Zechilvati Lach Lach Yom Yom. That's how the Rashba learned the Sugya. That's Rashba's Raya number one. Okay? Everyone chop the Raya now? Good. What's the Rashba's second Raya? The Rebbe Yehuda must differentiate between Lach Lach and Yavish Yavish. Rashba's in a roll. What's the second Raya? Somebody said it before. What's the second Raya? No? No, what's the second Raya? A Gemara somewhere in Gittin. 95 in Gittin. $1,000, right? A sugi about Bittul Orla. New Shaila. A little bit of Orla gets mixed in into other fruit. What's the Shia Bittul for Orla? No? What's the Shia Bittul? Masayim. Truma is Bimea, all is Masayim, why that is, hopefully we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but all is Batu Masayim. By the way, the same way that Truma Batu Bimea only applies to Min Be'er, you know what? Bimino, so too, all that Chumrah the Rabbanon of Oral of Batel of Masayim is only Min Bimino. Okay, that's the starting point of the Rashba. That's given, everyone agrees to that except for some Rashi tucked away, but not for now. But everybody agrees, everyone's working with that assumption that Orla, Betela, the Echaru Masayim, okay, this is also vitamin in the Mino. Okay? If, it's the same line of reasoning, if we can identify somewhere in Shas that Rabbi Yehuda buys into this principle, what if we prove it? How could Rabbi Yehuda buy into the shear of Orla, Betela, Echaru Masayim? The shear is on the bim bimino, and Rabbi Yehuda normally holds bim bimino in a botel. What would the answer have to be? It must be yavish biyavish is different, right? So we have to search shas again, second time around, says the Rashba. Go through shas now. Don't look for truma. Truma we already proved. Prove to me that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the shear of or levantu bechel masayim that by definition must be limited to bim bimino. That's a perish gemara. So it must be right. Rabbi Yehuda buys into. Sometimes the Bibita being bought, I'll be in for this. Okay, so the Rashba starts again. Nochamok starts. Rashba, Shabbos, everything's getting a little further. And he dug up a Gemara where? Where did he dig up a Gemara? He's looking for Rabbi Yehuda. These are the two terms he's Googling. Rabbi Yehuda, Bittul the Masayim for Orla. That's what he's looking for. And he found it. He found it in Daf Nadal. What does it say? You guys should know about this already, about this Gemara. It's a sugya of Eim Avatlis Lechatchila. That's what the sugya is really about. But it's a funny kind of Eim Avatlis. For those who weren't with us, so last semester we spoke a lot of time about learning the sugya's Eim Avatlis. You're not allowed to take a piece of chazer and throw it into a big, big pot of food, even though it's going to be both of the shishim. You're not allowed to do that. Eim Avatlis Lechatchila is a shayla, it's a deraisis, the rabbanan. It's also part of Rosh Hashanah, those who remember. But for sure you're not allowed to do that. Comes to Gemara Gittin Daf Nadalav and says, not only am I not allowed to take a Dovra Osir and throw it into a Dovra Mutter, that's for sure, Osir, I'm not allowed to do as follows. What if it fell in already, but for some technical reason it wasn't bottled yet? There's some quirk in Halacha that's preventing Bittul from kicking in, and I'm going to rectify that quirk. I'm going to undo that problem. I'm going to do some kind of a Maisa that's going to create Bittul, the scenario for Bittul to kick in. I'm not allowed to do that either. That's also a gross violation of Eim Avatlis Lechatchila. Who remembers the case? I have a Dovah Choshev that falls into a Taroides. What's the rule of Dovah Choshev? Assuming that it meets the criteria of Dovah Choshev, what's the din? It's not Bottle. It fell in, and now I'm going to do something to unravel the Chashivus. So I have one Dovah Choshev fell into a billion Dvar Mamutarim, but sorry, Charlie, Dovah Choshev is in a Bottle. So I'm going to do a chap to undo the chashivos. That's a violation of Eim Avatlis Lechatchila. You can plug in the case for me.
The nuts.
The nuts, very good. Okay, there goes the pera. I have a nut of orla. A nut is a fruit, so I have a nut that's orla. I got mixed into a thousand, a million, a trillion kosher nuts. The problem is, the nuts are very, very kosher. So, in a bottle, davash minyan, whatever it's called, davash shuvim, or the berach, and not bottle. So, I'm in trauma right now. Why? Because now I got to throw out all my nuts. So what do I do? No big deal. What do I do? Who's got an idea for me?
Crunch him up.
Break him up. It's like, no, you can't do that. The Mishnah is not allowed to do that. If you did it, that's a violation of Eim Avot L'Samchan Chila. Even though, again, this is not classic when Chazer into children. Here, the Tarebis happened already. But Ba'asheh Husham, before I get involved, the Tarebis was not Mutter. So I created the Heter of Bittul by undoing the Chashivos. That's a gross violation of Eim Avot L'Samchan Chila. So now the Tanoim have a Machlokes. What's the din if I went in and I did that? I went in and I violated the din of Eim Avot L'Samchan Chila. So if I violated it, amazed it, what's the din who remembers? I'm not allowed to use it. The term is also. If I violated B'shoigeg, what's the din? Machlokes HaTanoim. Kansu Shoigeg, you have to amaze it or not. Believe it or not, you won't believe this one. But one of the Tanoim who gets involved in this scenario is who? None other than who? Rabbi Yehuda, the Heilige Gitarer of Yehuda, talk to him and give Nafnun Dalet, has what to say about a guy who's got all the nuts mixed in, the more than 200 kosher nuts correspond to the one oil and nut, and he goes ahead and he's Pitsay Abishayeg. Do we say that the Knas the Rabbanan that we're going to ask for even Medea if it applies to them or not? That's what Yehuda's talking about. So the Rashba read that Gemara in Gittin, and he remembered that's the godless, the Rashba, one of the many things that he's learning Chul Dav Tzadiches. And in front of his eyes is a one-liner. It's so out of context. It has nothing to do with Maseches Gittin. It's a one-liner in the middle of a sugya about Kuntzah Shogya to Mezid, but the Rashba remembered that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda appears in that one line. He says, oh, wait a second, stop, hold the phone, says the Rashba. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about Bittul of oil and nuts. Really? How is that? How is there Bittul for oil and nuts? Echad b'masayim. It must be min b'mino. If it's not min b'mino, then there's no shiur b'masayim altogether. So it must be min b'mino. Wait a second. Hold the phone. What's the problem? How could Rabbi Yehuda what? How did Rabbi Yehuda say there's bittul of min b'mino? Is it what? What's staring us in the face? Damapar and damasoyer. What's the answer? Yavish b'yavish versus lach b'lach. Wow. Who here would have thought of those two rayas? The Rashba and Chul Dav Tzadiches dug up a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Memalef, which has nothing to do with anything. The Gemara in Gittin Dav Tzadiches, which is vital, not to do with anything. He dug up Rabbi Yehuda's there, Rabbi Yehuda's Dorton. Must be, you see, Rabbi Yehuda buys into these funny shirim of Mei and Masayim, which we know are only Bemin Bemino. Zeppin Fendod, Rabbi Yehuda must be Mechati Lach versus Yavish. Thus is the Rashba. Wow. You would have said that?
No.
You would have said
that. Isn't there a line staring us right in the face? Rabbi Yehuda lo kamar elo bivolo, elo b'shein avolo lo kamar. In the Rashba, right after he talks about that case, he says that Rabbi Yehuda lo kamar elo bivolo, elo b'shein avolo lo kamar.
Yeah, but he's bringing rayas. He has to bring rayas to that.
But yeah, wouldn't that go against what we just said?
No,
that it's not min b'mino.
No, bolo means liquidy. Bolo means liquidy.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So these are the two rayas in the Rashba. Absolute chayful yah for convincing rayas. He's got the raya from Truma. He's got the raya from Orla, and we are good to go. Maybe. Okay, we're gonna give to the Rashba now. We're gonna make believe that we've solved the first problem. To be determined whether we did or not. But we're gonna make believe we solved the first problem. Who's got alumnus for me? Who's going to explain to me why this phenomenon is true? I'm reading a passage in Chumash. The Torah says, Dama par, Dama soher, and I'm saying, no, that's only by liquids, not by solids. No. Yavish, Yavish is not true. So I know what Zach said. Zach said, well, the parish is talking about lach balach, right? That's what you're going to say. Are you going to say that?
Yeah.
So Zach's saying, the parish is talking about lach balach. So what am I going to respond? What am I going to respond back to Zach? I'm going to say, it's true but irrelevant. I said, okay, so I'm going to tell you, it only applies to things that are red. Right? It only applies in Yom Kippur, but if it happens any other day of the year, then there's no din b'mino in the bottle. It only applies to things that start with the letter pay and sin. But if it starts with other letters, it starts with cholent, then it doesn't apply. So why is lach balach relevant? That's what I'm really asking Zach. The new guy, don't be scared. But me and Zach, we go back since he was born, so I'm allowed to make fun of him. Yeah.
Because we gave this far that when it's lach balach, it's so mixed together you can't even see it.
Wait. Who's the we?
Sure,
we said, I don't remember what we said last, but that's been so long. My vacation for a month and a half. Okay. Yeah, let's see. Let's think it through. What is the lomdus within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? Comes to Briskerov and says it all boils down to a very basic fundamental lomdus, and we spoke about a little bit in the past, and we're going to try to flesh it out a little bit now. It all boils down to Avraham Mahatis. Because basically what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that Dama Par and Dama Sawyer is trumping Avraham Mahatis. Now Avraham Mahatis is the starting point of all of Torah, all of Baschol, all your day, everything begins with Avraham Mahatis. There's a parasha bitl beroiv in the Torah. These are Gemaras, and a few places, Avraham Mahatis, the Rishonim explaining these Gemaras, Avraham Mahatis, and the Dinah bitl beroiv. And Rabbi Yehuda is coming and saying that not so poshut. Tama Par Dama Sawyer overrides that. So let's stop and ask ourselves the following. Yesh ladun, yesh lachor. What's the nature? What those guys do? What's the nature of this parasha, this halach of Avraham Mahatis? The Torah says that you follow majority. So yadua, that you can understand these ideas of following majority in one of two ways. Either this is part of the parasha of Sfeikis. There are a lot of times in halacha where I have Sfeikis. I don't know what to do in life. I'm not sure, should I take this job, not take this job, take this course, take this, marry this girl, not marry this girl. A lot of Sfeikis in life. So the Torah gives you a different clue on what to do when you have Sfeikis. So let's say Lamosha, this is not the only clue we have Sfeikis. We have Chazoka Mikora, you follow the status quo sometimes. Gemara's a sugya in Bavadasa Sechabek, follow Koro, sometimes you're not sure where it comes from, it probably came from the closest place. It's the parish of Begla Rufa, teaches us the parish of Koro. Sometimes you have ways to revive the Sfeikis a little bit better, you have an Eyechon, sometimes you even have Shnei Edim. So you have a lot of different ways. There's a whole chelik in Torah called Sefer Sheh Shbaitzah. I always tell the fellows, a guy comes to me and he says, you know, Rebbe, I can't live with this suffering. I don't know what to do in life. I want everything to be clear. So I always say, if the Rebbe Hashem wanted such absolute clarity in the world, then he wouldn't have created the Dinim of Rov and Chazokas and Erech and Shehidim. Everything would be clear as day. So there's a parasha, the Sheikh Shpaita, wouldn't have been written if everything would have been clear as day. My son asked me, Akasha, you know, the famous thing we always say about the Sheikh Shpaita said that he wrote a Sefer, you know, Kol Miyosel Ish. That's what he writes in his introduction. And he wrote the Sefer Sheh Shmaitz before he became a man. So there are two different versions of what he meant. Either he meant it before his bar mitzvah, before his chasana. Well, probably wasn't that much of a time difference between the two. So it's not clear what he wrote. So my younger son asked Nakash, he said the Sheh Shmaitz in one place quotes his son. So I pointed out that he, if you look carefully at the Hakadama, he writes that he the Yesedis were written before. I mean, see, the Sefer itself wasn't actually put out the later, but the fundamental lomdus and all the sugyas were developed either when he was 10 years old or maybe 15 years old, the Erech. But it wasn't actually put on the paper until he had a son, the age 18, 19, whatever it was. Okay, good, not for now. All right. So it could be that that's kind of what Bittul Barov is about also. Bittul Barov is really in that chilek of Torah of Hilchot Sfeikis. I just think about it. I know there's some treifus here, and I know there's a lot of kosher stuff here, and the halacha says it's okay to eat it. So it could be that what the Torah is saying is that you're basically allowed to, you know, live a little risky. You know, you're not sure of 100% of Ruach HaKodesh, but you can safely assume you're probably not going to trip up. You're probably going to be eating the kosher food. The same way that I don't really know 100% whether this is still kosher or not, but the chazak is that it was kosher last week, I can assume it's probably okay now. Or I don't really know whether the Edom are telling me the truth, but the Torah says it's okay, you can rely on the Edom anyway. So is that what's really going on here? That's what Bittul Barov is all about. I mean, I'm not really sure. It's Parshas HaSfeikis, and the Torah is giving you the right to rely on the odds are in your favor. That's what Bittul Barov is all about. Is that the parasha of Bittul Barov? Or Bittul Barov, but legamri different thing. Totally legamri different thing. What is Bittul Barov? No, come on, what is Bittul Barov? Bittul Barov changes Bittul Merov transforms items. Bittul Merov removes characteristics. You thought this was Chazir? This is Nishkin Chazir. It's not Chazir. Chazir is X, but when you have a piece of Chazir mixed in with a bunch of other things, that is Bittul Merov, whatever the numbers are, it's Bittul Merov, this is Nishkin Chazir. I physically, chemically, DNA, it's Chazir Halachli, this is not called Chazir. This is not the Chazir of the Batera. Ah, you don't believe in it? Because you're a Koifer, that's why you don't believe in it. What do you mean? The din is that, it's an Epoch Neil's hat there. The Torah has transformed the characteristics of this item. It's an Epoch Neil's hat there. It's like the Taz. Like the Taz says on, when you Makabal Shabbos early, it's not Friday anymore, it's Shabbos already. Ah, it's Friday, the sun is still shining, says the Taz. Well, you don't believe in the Rabban Shalom? The Rabban Shalom Kizok, you can turn Friday into Shabbos. So the Rabban Shalom said you can turn Chazir into kosher food. That's the parasha, it'll be right. So what is the nature? What is happening when things are bottled? We've been learning Bittul Merov for 5 months already. What is happening when things are bottled Merov? Are they bottled B'Teiras Sveikis that the Torah is giving you a right to rely on? Or no? There's something much more dramatic that's taking place. Zok to Bishki Rav, what's the answer to this Kasha? They're both right. But not all Torahs have worked the same way. Says the Bishki Rav, when you have a taroibis of lach balach, how can you say with a straight face that, well, the Torah is giving me a chance, you know, I can risk it, I can live dangerously, I'm probably okay. Who are you joking? Who are you kidding? You're probably okay. When you have a taroibis of lach, what does lach balach by definition mean? It's all permeates, it's all spreads, osmosis, it's all spread. Any drop you're taking by definition has some taroibis in it. When you have a little bit of a chaza soup mixed in with kosher soup, so it's all, there is chaza soup there. Every spoonful has chaza soup in it. So how are you going to tell your bubba mind to that? Well, you can live dangerously, it's probably okay. What do you mean probably okay? No, it's not. What's the answer? Bittul Merov by lach balach, if it works, has to work through which mechanism? It's got to work through nepach. It's got to work through transformation. It can't work through the parasha of Vegas. Yavish be Yavish, on the other hand, there's no need to transform anything. Yavish, there are three different pieces. The Torah says, risk it. Take one, enjoy. The odds are in your favor. Ah, you may be wrong. Bechazoka Mekar, I also may be wrong. By Shneid and the Eid may be lying also. They may turn out to be Adam Zoma next week. It's true. But the Torah says, you're allowed to live your life. You have to make decisions based on the Pashas of Torah. What, how to deal with Tzveikis? So Balach Balach, the nature of Bittul is radically different than the parish of Yavish B'Yavish. Come to Biskarov the second Yisrael. Come to Biskarov and says, I read Parashas Mishpatim, Acharal Mahatis. There's an Ischadish Mid as a parish of Bittul Merov. I move on, a few months later, and I get to Acharei Mos, and the terrorist throws at me a curveball and says, Dama part, Dama sar, Gevau, then my Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda, and he said, Zeven Fendo, then the Bibino in a bottle. So I start to think, how does that jive? How does that fit with what I just learned in Parashat Mishpatim? The Torah says, Acharei Mahatis, and now you're telling me, no, that's not always true. Mimimino, it's not true. Does that make any sense to you? Does that limitation of Dama part, Dama sar make any sense in light of the fact that we're living in a world of Acharei Mahatis? If you're telling me that Bittul Merov is fundamentally a question of betting on the right horse, it's just taking a chance and hoping that you're right, that's what Bittul Merov is, does it make any sense to differentiate between Min B'Mino versus Min B'Shein Amino? It's statistics. It's all a game of statistics. So the statistics are identical whether we're lach balach or yavish b'yavish. I'm sorry, where? Whether it's mimino versus mimshen amino. It's the same numbers. It's the same 72.5% that's in my favor that the Torah gives me a right to rely on. Might have to be, it's like it's absurd to say that you can only follow chazaka mekaras when you mean mimino versus the numbers. Those words don't make any sense. If the parish is the parish of Sveikis, the question is, can I live taking this gamble, taking this risk? My nafkamina, whether it's mimimina versus mimimina, it doesn't make any sense. Bat zok to Biskirov. If you're in the world of transformation, You're in the world of characteristics disappearing. You're in the world of one item swallowing up another item. Wait a second, not so poshut. That's a gewaltig chiddush haTorah. That one item swallows up another item. I could say to you, that makes sense logically, sometimes, and not necessarily other times. What's the logic? Why would I say that? Why would I say that A swallows a B sometimes, but not other times? What's the svar bedavar? Well, you just told me the cases. What's the svar bedavar? Everyone see the direction the Biskirov is going in, same China Rashba. No? What's the svara yesh bedavar? Why should I say that if I'm in the world of transformation is more nitan? It's not so nita b'min b'mino. What is lacking in min b'mino? What is preventing me from plugging in the equation of transformation here, Rabbi Yisrael? Rishkir Rav doesn't say it. It's on the tip of his tongue. What does he say? Just say one word. If you don't get that word right, you're wrong. No? Say the one word. What? Hitakdut. That's right. Duran in the door of Dafton Bays. I have to fill in the new guys. The Ran and the Sech the Darm Dafin Days had Kazakh the following Yisoid that Bittul, you want to declare that one thing is Batel? Bittul is presupposing there was a fight. You can only have a victor and a vanquished when there was a war. If there was no war, then there's no winner, there's no loser. So it's got to be a fight to the finish. In order for things to fight with each other, what do they have to be from one another? What's the clout?
Enemies.
They have to be enemies. They have to be what? Different from one another. If two guys are the same team, there's not a war. You have to have two guys. Mamish, come on, give me two good examples. Give me a good war. Come on, a good war. Come on. Nah, come on. Friends with the British. Come on. Give me a good two fights to the finish. Okay, guys, I'm nothing about.
I see them now.
Come on. That was the worst possible thing to do. Okay, I don't know. I leave out Carter then. Okay, fine. You have two countries are at war with each other. They mobbish, they can't stand each other. They're fighting to the finish. You have Kamshakashan against Irkutsk. I don't know, two guys are really, really going at it. They're different. One will win and one will lose. And the winner will take over the loser, and the loser will lose its identity. That's only true up there on when? No. If they're so different from one another. According to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, what makes them too similar, too close for comfort? Min. If they have physical characteristics that are identical, Dosa's chicken soup and Dosa's chicken soup. One of them is, what's the name of the trait of chicken soup?
Campbell's.
What's the name of the kosher one? Hi, Mishavah Mishavitz. Okay, so you have Mishpacha, Geffen. Geffen and Campbell's, it's the same thing. They're identical to one another. They're too close. There's no war. If there's no war, then there's no victor, there's no vanquish, and there's no hitakdut, and therefore there's no bittul. And there's no losing of characteristics. That's Rabbi Yehuda's world. And the only reason why the Rabbanan don't buy into Rabbi Yehuda, who remembers why? What does the Rabbanan hold, says the Ran? There is hitakdut, because they're different from one another. How are they different? Because they're halakhically different. One's also, one's mutter. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda looked at the world through the eyes of chemistry and physics, through the eyes of the kitchen. The Rabbanan looked at the world through the eyes of the Bismedrish. Rabbi Yehuda was a what? Rabbi Yehuda was a what? He was a post 3 o'clock. And the Rabbanan was pre 3 o'clock. In case you don't know, 3 o'clock is when she is supposed to end. Just like that, okay? So. Doesn't sound right to say post 12 o'clock. Doesn't bode well for Yeshiva. So everybody say. Zok the Biskirov, that when you're dealing with Bittul Birayv in terms of things losing characteristics, then, hey, wait a second, Mimbabino, you shouldn't even make a lot of sense. Do it, put all the pieces of the puzzle together, Zok the Biskirov. Why did the Hele Gerashpa say that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's by Tarovis of what? Of no? Fill me in. That's by Lach Balach, it's Falach Balach. What do you have to come on to Falach Balach? You need bittul of it. You need bittul of transformation. You need bittul of taking over. Why? Because the bittul of stake isn't going to help you. Why isn't it going to help you? Triple Sphagis is not sufficient for lach lach. Why? Because you know that what? You know you have treif there. Well, you're joking. You're kidding. Of course there's treif there. It's all osmosis. It's all there. But by bittul of yavish biyavish, where what? Which doesn't work that way. Bittul yavish has nothing to do with transformation. Bittul yavish biyavish is a parish of sphagis. By sphagis, there's no reason logically to differentiate between what? And therefore, even Rabbi Huda ultimately buys it, the Chiram Lahatas is going to work, albeit by Yavish B'Yavish. So Baruch Hashem, we can redesign. I believe we've accomplished 2 out of 3 things today. We brought riot. We can start off with the Rashba's Kashi. We really start off with the Gemara. Gemara said, I'm Rabbaye, Zeheta Babacha Lisser, Lonitzchel Rabbi Huda. So the Rashba said, wait a second, it's not true, because this is Yavish B'Yavish, and Rabbi Huda said, Balach Balach. So we challenged the Rashba to prove to us, how did he know that? We dug up a Gemara by Truma, Gemara by Orva, we're good to go. Then we challenged the Rashba, give me a Svara. So we dug up to Brisker Rav, opened up our eyes in terms of the fundamental difference of how Yavish, Yavish, and Lach, Lach were. And that explains the Rashba's background. So we remember 2 out of 3 we've solved. Who thinks we've solved the second problem? Brisker Rav just solved this problem for us. He showed us that the bittul of Yavish B'Yavish and Lach B'Yachid are so radically different from one another, and therefore one lends itself to the Chumrim in B'Vinu and Batla, and the other doesn't. It's because all the Gevar from Miskirav, you know, give me a kasha, you know.
Or the Yonim being Batla each other.
The Yonim, yeah, give me more than just Reb Chaim. You're almost there. Which Machlokes are we showing you? Is this Miskirav will Chari depend upon? Miskirav just set up for us 2 radically different categories. One is bittul alts. Transformation, and one is bit lot tzvekis. And he said, one is yavish b'yavish, one is lach b'lach. Really? Is that true? Is that model correct? Which Rishon buys into that model? Which Rishon doesn't buy into that model for the old-timers? When you saw this Biskarov, you just heard this Biskarov from me the first time, what were the first thing, the alarm bell should be going off in your head? What alarm bell should be going off in your head? Is that true? Yavish b'yavish is tzvekis? Yavish B'Yavish is Al Tzvekis? The Rosh and who? The Rosh and Tesis Rid. How come you didn't think of that? Right? When I said to Brisker Rav, who here thought, Rosh Tesis Rid? Wait a second. This is old story. Rosh Tesis Rid. Hope mention tomorrow we have to reacquaint ourselves with the Rosh and Tesis Rid for a moment and understand what the Brisker Rav meant and didn't mean. And then we still have to work on touch up number 2. And then we got a lot of work to do on number 3, but as I said, before we even get anywhere near number 3, we got a lot more work to do on number 2, and I'm happy to report we got a lot more work to do, hopefully, on number 1 as well. So we are nowhere near number 3. Let's jump them off.